Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to unlock the combination to your life's true potential.
Living Out Loud
with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. Dr. Birnbaum is a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author of What Price Power? An in-depth study of the professional woman in a relationship. She's an expert on depression, women's issues, attaining happiness, and so much more.
You got a gift, my friend.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I will hold on.
Yes, you do.
Now, here's Dr. Frieda Birnbaum,
Living Out Loud.
Hello, welcome to our show. You can reach me on my website, drfrieda.com. And it looks like we have some good special guests today, Ryan, don't we?
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty interesting day. But, you know, Dr. Frieda, this whole week, it's been pretty crazy with some of the bigger topics of the news. You've got Bill Cosby. You've got the sharks. You've got all these things going on with the global financial economy. It's getting completely worse. Do you mind if I ask right at the top, because we are in the midst of summer, but do you feel that people should be terrified to go on the beach?
You know, we shouldn't be terrified of anything. I mean, it's not a way to live our lives. We should be cautious, maybe that's a good word, have some kind of preconditioned game plan. But we should definitely go out there and have fun and live our lives, whether it's terrorism or suspected terrorism, most likely, sharks, driving a car, airplane, whatever. So, as you know, I'm sure that sharks are the possibility is far less than lightning, falling out of bed, or whatever there is that is very minor in experiences that we have out there. So there are ways to protect ourselves from sharks, too, not to go near anyone who's fishing, or to actually not wear jewelry, believe it or not, because that attracts
jewelry actually attracts
well.
Sharks?
Yeah, the brightness seems to... I guess they have very good vision. I don't know how they can spot it. They're so big, and we're not that big, and our jewelry is minute in size here. But that's what
right.
They do say, that attracts it.
And who knows why they come after you? All I know is that I just don't want to. I don't want to go in the water. I'm still afraid of sharks. But I know. I want to just bring to your attention and audience's attention that we've got two really great guests for today. And we're going to do a quick interview with our first one. Her name is Michelle Seeler Tucker. She's a business consultant, and she really can talk about how to sell your business more than it's worth. And the reason why I'm bringing it to your attention today is because there are a lot of people that are out there that are seeking to, I guess, shift their behavior to get to the point where they can be more financially abundant and, you know, to be more successful in business. And it's passion, it's determination, but it's also attitude. So we're going to bring on Michelle right now to talk about the attitude it takes to be more successful and maybe what are some of the financial attitudes you can have in order to attain even more financial abundance in your life. Because if you have more financial abundance, Dr. Frieda, I mean, obviously you can do a lot more, you can have a lot more freedom, and that can be part of your whole aspect of getting into a happier place.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Michelle, are you with us?
I am, and I am on speakerphone, and I'm actually sitting here with one of my favorite attorneys that I always bring into large multi-million dollar transactions, and it just so happens that we're in Houston negotiating an LOI on a $20 million deal, and the husband and wife are going through a divorce. So this is like perfect time. So we actually have both of us that we can answer some of these questions, and his name is Roman Basie. And I'm Michelle Seeler-Tucker.
Okay.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome to our show.
Michelle.
Thank you. I hope you can hear me okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Ryan, can you hear her?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I can hear her. I can hear you as well.
Okay, good.
Just want to ask you.
Turning the voice.
Is there a particular attitude that a person should have in order for them to be successful that you've garnered over your years?
Well, of course, you know, in business, you have to have, obviously, a positive attitude. You have to, you know, be motivated and be determined no matter what. And you're going to have to wear a lot of different hats. So you have to always maintain a positive attitude, which is not easy to do in business.
I'm reading something, Ryan. This is interesting. I hate to interrupt, but I just want to bring this up. I'm reading this. It says, put your business in a trust. It keeps it from being labeled as marital property. Now, that's an interesting thing, because what it's implying is, in case the marriage doesn't work, am I right? You shouldn't have to... Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
How do you do that? How do you put your business in a trust?
Okay, so Roman Basie is sitting here. He's an attorney, and he does this all the time. Roman, you want to answer that question?
Well, sure, and it would be dependent upon the state laws, but you would put the stock of the company that you own into the trust. And if you put that into the trust prior to the marriage, then it may not be seen as marital property. If you put it into the trust during the marriage, then it will be seen somewhat as marital property. But it definitely is a vehicle to help in that type of planning, is to put it into a trust. We don't see it very often, but it's a good vehicle.
Okay.
Interesting.
And just real quick, if you are going through a divorce, say, for example, is there anything that you actually recommend? Is there a particular attitude that you would recommend to your clients in order to, let's say, keep a more positive, more vibrantly going attitude that would, you know, allow them to still have the same earning powers that they did prior to being separated?
Well, of course. And, you know, I always say that attitude is half the battle, and anybody can pretty much conquer anything if they have the right attitude. And even going through a divorce, I mean, you got to stay positive. And, you know, you got to look at this. You got to look at going through a divorce. But you got into this marriage because you loved each other. And at the end of the day, as emotional as it is, you got to stop thinking emotionally, and you got to start making decisions based on love, but not on emotion. And you really got to look at everything clearly and objectively, so again, logically, not based on emotion.
But you know, Michelle, you know, I'm
third-party experts to do that, you know, and that's what we do. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but here's the confusing part to me as a therapist. I'm looking at this, you know, business relationship. You know, business relationship is like a marital relationship. You go into a marriage looking at it as if it's going to work.
Sure.
And I'm looking at all, and, you know, it's a relationship that is similar, where you try to get along, respect each other, help each other. I'm looking at this as if it's being set up in case you split up, in case there's a divorce. There's something about it that seems a little bit strange. I mean, usually you go into a partnership, whether it's marital or business, with a support system of making it work. I know that that's the precedence behind this, that you do that. But this whole thing that I'm looking at here is how to protect yourself, and if you do get a divorce, how to make it work for you. What about an angle of where you would make it work for you if you stay together, and how to make it work so you can stay together? I know you're in the midst of a divorce, it's true, but isn't there a different angle to this as well?
I'm sorry. I'm not in the midst of a divorce.
Oh, you're not. Okay, I couldn't hear you well.
That's
I thought
not
you
what
said
I
that.
Said. What I said is, we were representing a client today as we speak on a $3 billion sale because the owner is going through a divorce. So
Okay. So
okay.
I'm sorry. Excuse me for that misinterpretation.
Yes,
but the other
have to get my husband.
Well, I hope not. I don't wish that for you. I just wanted to know that I was hearing the right thing, and I guess I misinterpreted it. So what about the comment that I said as far as talking about, you know, making it work rather than having a divorce from your business relationship?
You mean making the marriage work or making the business relationship work?
Well, making the business work, because it seems as if it's the same kind of, I think, I should really ask you, are the same kind of principles, do they both apply for either one or the other?
No, I mean, it just depends, you know. In some businesses, mm-hmm. like the one that we're working on today, the husband has basically built this business from scratch, and the wife had no involvement whatsoever. She's never worked in the company. So it doesn't really make sense to make that business relationship work
okay.
because the husband is the business. You know, the wife doesn't really partake in the business. So every situation
is
different.
You.
Every situation is different.
Oh,
well,
okay.
not black and white, you know.
I
uh-huh.
see. Okay.
Michelle, we are pressed for time. Listen, we want to thank you for coming on. Where can we learn more about you?
Sure. You can go to MichelleTuckerInternational.com, MichelleTuckerInternational.com, and for a free e-book, Sell Your Business for More Than It's Worth, you can go to BetterBusinessBrokers.com. That's BetterBusinessBrokers.com.
Okay. Listen, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your insight. It's really interesting. We may have you on again because we absolutely did not get everything we needed to know about business and you know, opportunities and how to think financially and not emotionally. So it's important, and we will have you back on. Thank you so much.
And she's, I think she's going to come back. But, you know, Dr. Frieda, there are so many other things that have been occurring this week, and you've been really straightforward, and you've come out swinging about Bill Cosby, and we've talked about him at great length. And our guest, Stephanie Shannon, she'll be on in about 2 minutes. She herself is a sexual abuse survivor, and we're going to talk to her about that. But I was wondering if you could just relate to the audience as what we talked about earlier this week about Bill Cosby, if whether or not you thought he was lying from the very beginning.
Well, you know, he was absolutely lying. We could see on his, you know, body movements and his mannerism. If you read his body, when your person looks sideways, when they're looking down, when they're not looking directly at you, if they're moving in an agitated manner, they have difficulty smiling or even protecting themselves, even by being angry at someone who's accusing you of something false. He didn't do that. So when you read body language, that's really a heads up for seeing that there's probably something that's not truthful about this person that you're watching. That's one of the things that are, you know, obvious. And then the other part, Ryan, I don't know if we have time to talk about it, is abuse. You know, what is abuse? Well, abuse is not sexual. It's asserting yourself. It's a control over someone else. And rape is an assault. And that word has not been used enough, and it's beginning to be used more with Bill Cosby.
And Dr.
So
Frieda, I want to bring
some of the topics I could talk about.
I want to bring on our guest right now. Her name is Sergeant Stephanie Shannon. She is a disabled Gulf War veteran. She's a veterans advocate. She's a speaker. She's the author of a book called Battling the Storm Within, a memoir of her 20 years with undiagnosed post-traumatic stress disorder caused by sexual trauma and Gulf War illness. Ms. Shannon, it's an honor to have you with us today. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Thank you for being on our show. We appreciate it. So tell us, you know, with sexual abuse, and it's out there now in the media all over, What do you feel? What is your comment on your personal? First of all, we'll go there. On your personal experience, were you able to address the topic and with support?
Well, actually, yes. What happened was I experienced sexual assault in the military, and the military defines military sexual trauma. It's an experience which causes a psychological trauma. It has to deal with unrepeated, unsolicited verbal, physical, sexual content in nature. It can be just physical, full-blown rape. And I experienced that in the military, and the statistics is that 1 in 3 women are sexually assaulted in the military, and 38 men are sexually assaulted every day. And there's a fear of reporting because what the problem is that most of the people that report are their leaders are the ones that are doing the assaulting or the offending, and the issue is not being addressed. So when I saw the Bill Cosby article, I could relate to it because a lot of times what people lean to is the tendency to cover men, to allow men in authority, I call it a sex pass, to violate other people.
So how did you, what did you personally do to overcome it, or have you overcome the sexual trauma in your life, this abuse?
What has happened to me is that I wasn't aware that I had a psychological trauma cause. Military sexual trauma, psychological wound, it's an invisible wound, and I didn't know I was wounded. So I lived that way for 20 years. And what I did was I suffered in silence. I didn't have support until I burned myself out. My doctor took me off the stress leave. I hit rock bottom, and then I began to reach out for help. That's when I went back to the VA system to get therapy. And so therapy was very dire. It was very necessary in my recovery, and I took about 3-4 years working on myself. And that's what my book and came out of, too, just as the process of my healing and spiritually. It was my faith. I believe that God allowed these things to happen to me, that he had a purpose for it, too.
So you were diagnosed with a post-traumatic stress syndrome, is that right?
That's correct.
And were you able to conquer that? Were you able to get out of that?
I would say that it's something that you manage. I didn't know I had it, and once I was diagnosed and I began to see my symptoms and I began to see the things that my triggers, when I was able to identify the trauma, then I was able to overcome it. But I couldn't do it on my own. I needed that support. So definitely I'm at a place where after I dealt with my issues, I started sorting it out. I wrote my book to release that pain and put it in order. But also it was a method of me to advocate and help others. So a lot of my recovery is going out and advocating for other sexual trauma victims.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying that religion and your spirituality helped you with coping?
Oh, yes, it did, because I didn't understand that when you're victimized from sexual assault or trauma, a lot of times you don't have people there you can trust. And I just believe, you know, I cried out to God. I prayed a lot, and I felt like, you know, only he could heal me from it. That was one of my main anchors of recovery.
What do you think of what's going on with Bill Cosby? You know, there's so many people coming out, so many women coming out, 42 women claiming that he drugged them and that he had non-consensual sex with them. He was abusive at many of these women. What is your take on all of this?
I can relate to that. A lot of times what happens, especially with a man of his caliber and celebrity, he can do no wrong. He's a good guy. You know, he's a Mr. Cosby, are you kidding me? You know? And so you have this image, and no one would believe it. No matter, they were saying the women just wanted to take him down because he was a black, powerful man, and they were just lying. And I knew, I spoke about this before, that something wasn't right, because that's too many victims. And often that's what happens when you're a trauma victim. You go, and that's what I did. I didn't tell anybody, so no one believed me anyway. And when it deals with sexual assault, a lot of times it's just brushed over, because it's like the elephant that's in the room. Nobody wants to deal with those issues. So
it's very sad that women, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, but that's kind of why I understand why they kept quiet for that long.
Well, they kept quiet because at that time women were further victimized and there was a stigma attached, and they were told, they provoked it, and today there are more women who are advocates and involved in coming out, and it's not only a man's world, so they feel safer bringing this out. But we're talking about Bill Cosby, who was our celebrity, our hero, showed us that a black community and society can be successful, can be family-oriented, and we really held him up for that. But do you think that those values are separate than what was going on with him as far as his drug and his sexual abuse and raping these women?
Definitely it is. You know, that's Hollywood. That's a character. I always thought that the Cosby's was not a realistic black family. So I think it was just Hollywood way of painting a positive, but it was unrealistic because all families have issues and secrets. And
But, you know, in real life, he also played that character. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I want to ask you this. Dr. Frieda and Stephanie, I'd like to ask you both two questions. Is that, Dr. Frieda, first off, you come in and you work with a lot of people and you really help them heal. I was wondering if there are certain qualities that you recognize within a person immediately if they're suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And also in the same token, I'd like to ask Stephanie, is that you've experienced what a sexual predator is, up close, unfortunately. And I was wondering if there are certain qualities, certain discernible qualities of people who are sexual predators who may not suspect, but things that we should all look for that maybe will keep us, you know, safe and guarded. So, Frida, would you like to answer that first?
Those are excellent. They're excellent questions, and it's very important to know this, because when someone's suffering from this kind of syndrome, their anxiety is so high that they really can't relate to what you're saying, because they're constantly reliving the trauma. So each time you try to introduce something new, the trauma keeps surfing back, and that anxiety escalates, and that's the life they live. So they need to be able to introduce new experiences for themselves. They need to be able to see that they can have joy in their life. And as they keep supplementing this one thing for another, eventually this is going to be squashed. But they have to be able to know how to take that into perspective, because it's not rational anymore. It's not in their lives anymore. It's something in the past they keep bringing into the present that has no concept of reality. And so it's very difficult. It's a very important question. But it can be done. It needs to be repetitive, and the person needs to realize that there are more important things going on in their lives, that they've moved on.
Definitely.
Okay. So, Stephanie, what about seeing the qualities of people? I mean, you notice a couple of qualities?
Yeah, usually they're arrogant, the kind of self-absorbed people. You have to really watch how they treat people that are less than, that they don't need and less important, you know. I find the general quality is also, you know, I don't believe in rumors and, you know, gossip, but you kind of got to, you know, check it out and listen to what people do say about their character in general. So I think it's more or less once you begin to deal with your own personal trauma, you will be able to notify red flags, you know, especially when there's a level of control. A lot of men like that in power, they basically, they have like a team of people that work for them and they kind of run at things, and you really don't get a lot of time to process. You know, some things that kind of make decisions for you, you know.
Okay.
So you're talking about people who are controlling, people who have big egos.
Yes.
They're narcissistic.
Yes.
Often, and those.
Yes.
Are the kind of people that validate their own behavior.
Yes.
They feel they're more powerful than anybody else.
Yes.
Around them. Well,
exactly.
Crosby really fits into that profile, doesn't he, for sure?
Definitely.
So, well, now he's not in the same running field here. He has a lot to answer for, and I suspect some of these cases will be opened up. And, you know, it's a mixed thing, because we really want to hate, we really want to love, see, that's a Freudian slip. We really want to love Bill Cosby because of everything he represented. And I was going to say that before, that he also lived that life of being a family man, although other things he did we didn't know about, but he was very community-oriented, gave millions to the black community, and really had that perspective about him as well. So his split personality showed that this abusive behavior, drugging women, came from a different time in his life. And he also had a mother who was very oriented towards education and a father who was very oriented towards leaving his family of five. So he had mixed messages as well. So a lot of complicated events that bring Bill Cosby into who he is, who he became as a man. But those are interesting answers that you gave us about, post-traumatic stress disorders, sexual assault, Bill Cosby, you name it. It's really happening in our lives today. Even if it didn't happen to you, we can't avoid feeling and supporting a sympathetic ear to these women who have gone through this.
Definitely.
And,
I totally agree.
Oh, let me interrupt. Sorry.
Yes. I totally agree in regards to the opportunity. When I finally faced my trauma, I found my voice. And I think that's what a lot of these women are doing, starting to speak in, and that's where healing starts to begin.
Absolutely. That's the only way, and this is the best thing, the number one thing that can happen to them. So is there anything else you'd like to tell us? There's so much to ask about this. To wrap this up and to give us some further insight?
I just really think whenever you're violated, you're a victim or something like that, it's a decision to decide to get out of that place, personal decision. I could have stayed in that mold and blaming other people. You have to look at it. What part did you play? And I say a lot of victims or people that are survivors from trauma to no longer look outside themselves because it was not your fault. You know, don't blame yourself, but how can you really help yourself recover? And that's by looking at yourself in the mirror and reaching out and getting the help you need. So that's the power, is reaching for help. So I talk about a lot in my book, BattlingStrongWithin.com. They can find out a lot of information about trauma. I talk a lot about, I'm real transparent because I feel that that's what people need to hear. So I really advocate for people to fight for healing and restoration for themselves.
So Battling the Storm Within.
Yes, that's the book, and the website has a lot of videos and, you know, inside and free reports and things of that nature.
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie.
Okay.
Shannon.
Where can we learn more about you?
Yes.
The BattlingStrongWithin.com, that's where I'm at. If you want more information, you can hit me in the inbox. I'm out on Facebook, Battling the Storm Within, and I'm also on Twitter at Battling the Storm. So I'm out there, and I'm on LinkedIn, too. I would love to discuss more with other trauma survivors and people that have questions in this area and how they can get help.
Well, I'm so glad it's out in the open and women can feel free to discuss all this. Thank you so much for being on our show, Stephanie Shannon.
Thank you
so
much.
I appreciate the opportunity. Okay.
Thank you.
Dr. Frieda, you know, in the course of your practice, we've gone over this a little bit before, but is there anything that you're actually noticing or seeing over the course of the last 2 years that you would say is an alarming spike in terms of behavior, in terms of common behavior of people for what they're coming to be treated? Have you noticed that there were anything becoming more relevant? Do you think more people are becoming depressed these days? Like, what are you seeing as the biggest trend?
Well, you know, the biggest trend to therapy so far is that people are coming in with common problems. And they're not coming in for medication or depression or anything that you and I or anybody else doesn't have, which is that they're using therapy just to cope. They're using therapy because every day there's stuff happening. And those are the people, often the most successful people, the people you would think least needed. That's been the change in therapy these days. The ones that just want to address how to make things happen in a better way in their lives, and there's always stuff to talk about.
Yeah, well,
that's the trend.
Well, and Dr. Frieda, where can people learn more about you?
Well, they could just see me on my website, drfrieda.com, and they can hear about my shows, my radio shows, my
they can go to radio shows, and they can hear you on Shannon Thornton's show this Friday, the Sunday. But
that's right.
They can learn more. Go to drfrieda.com. And what do you think, if you were going to make one trend about next week, what do you have one prediction about for next week?
Well, I know that Cosby is really going to be in hotter water than he is in now. So we're all waiting to see it. And also Trump, we have to hear what he has to say because he's very colorful. And there's some truth to what he says as well. And he is powerful, and we do need someone powerful. I'm not saying to go out and vote for him, but I am saying he does have some very strong messages. You can vote for whoever you want to.
Got it. And we'll see everyone here next Friday on Living Out Loud with Dr. Frieda Burma.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.